you've got your tablets, your WhatsApps, your mobile phones. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 1. If it's all right with you, I'm going to use an actual proper Bible. Yeah, verse 13. It's obviously it's a very well-known verse. Parable of the sower, or the four soils, as some people call it. Chapter 13, starting at verse 1. By the way, it's chapter 13. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got out into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and other birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And here we see Jesus talking about four soils, seeds in which they were sown on. And Jesus is basically talking about, no matter where that seed was landing, it was going to produce something. Yeah. It may not have lasted very long, it may have got choked, but that seed was being sown for a reason. And when Jesus talks about the seed, Jesus here is revealing himself as the sower of that seed, the farmer. He's actually sowing the seed, which is God's word. Now, God, this seed he was sowing here, it didn't matter where it landed, he was just going to continue to sow it, no matter where it landed. And that seed continued to be sown and scattered, no matter what, no matter where, no matter when. And it was constant. It never changed. It never varied. That word of God in his situation always stayed constant. And he talked at the end about good soil, about the seed landing on the best soil there is, because that is the soil that produces the best crop in the end. But you know, even amongst good soils, there are four types. Each individually have their own weaknesses and have their own strengths. We start off with clay, very thick, very hard. Now you think, now what on earth can clay do? Well, actually its weaknesses are, if it gets very wet, it'll just go boggy. Go very dry, and it goes like concrete. But if you get this one right, it will produce the best crop you can get. Timing with this is critical. But if you do get it right and sow the seed at the right time in the right place and nurture it, it will produce the best crop you can get. Secondly, we have loam. Now, loam, I would say he's not Mr. Average, but this guy's the most reliable you can get. He won't produce the best, but he won't produce the worst either. This guy is the jack of all trades. If you want Mr. Reliable, Mr. Loam is the guy you turn to, because he will never let you down. His weakness, though, is compaction. If that gets really hard, it will not produce anything at all. So this guy just needs nurturing and producing a crop. But he really is the best one. to do that. Thirdly, this is moss, or peat as some people call it. Really black, really dark. This guy is full of nutrients. He really will go for it. The trouble is, he can run out of energy very, very quickly. His weakness also too, as you know, with a lot of moss and peat, if this gets wet, it just goes like a bog, produces absolutely nothing at all. But if this guy is nurtured properly, he too can have an abundance of crop. Lastly, we have sand. Now, a lot of people think that this is the best soil of them all, because it's the finest, and yes, you can get a brilliant seed bed out of this stuff. But this guy dries up very quickly if you're not careful. This guy, because it's the water runs through so quickly, it never holds on to it, and the nutrients go with it. This soil needs a lot of feeding to produce anything at all. It is also prone to wind blow. When you see sand and dust blowing off a field, this is the guy. It's sand and it doesn't hold on like clay does. But you know, even these good soils need looking after. A farmer won't leave these to their own devices and hope at some point it produces a crop. At every point, he's always watching it, he's always nurturing it, he's always investing time in it, and he's always feeding it. Only then will even these good soils produce the best they can get out of it. And this is why Jesus is talking about the four soils, because a lot of this community he was talking to were farmers. They could understand exactly what he was talking about. And then how healthy and how structural and how well put together these soils are will determine what sort of crop you get at the end of it. But you see, there's got to be a point to this. There's got to be a point of why the seed was sown on these soils in the first place. And the answer to that is there a harvest. The only reason why a seed is put into the ground by a farmer is to produce something at the end of it of which he can do something with. You talk to most farmers, harvest is the most critical point of the year for them. And what harvest brings is opportunity and urgency. And if you get the weather like we have, urgency is the biggest word we can get around here. If we go to chapter 9, start at verse 35. It says, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know, when Jesus says that, he's not actually talking about numbers. When Jesus says the laborers are few, he's not talking about there's not many people around him. When Jesus says the laborers are few, he's talking about people who cannot gather in the harvest under their own strength. They need to rely on something bigger and greater than them to gather it in. Because the clue to that comes next, what Jesus says next. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest and send out laborers into his harvest. In other words, if they were ever going to gather this harvest in, they had to rely on the Lord of the harvest, God himself, to actually gather in his harvest. They needed to rely on him and him alone to gather it in. And it feels sometimes like an insurmountable task. when it comes to harvest. You know what? It's the busiest time of year for us. And sometimes, especially when the weather's against you, it feels like you're taking two forward and three back. You feel frustrated. You feel as though you're not getting anywhere, especially when you're on your own. You feel as though you're working and working and working, and what's the point sometimes? But you've got to remember that the whole point of that seed that you sowed 6, 9, 12 months ago is going to produce something that you are able to use. Any farmer will sow his seed because he wants something at the end of it. He wants something to show for what he's invested his money into, what he's put his time into, what he's put his effort into. And harvest time is the critical point where it all comes to fruition. One day, there's always the harvest. Doesn't matter what the weather's doing, no matter what the crop looks like, it will always be a harvest. Because even on good soil, again, like Jesus, the farmer will sow that seed no matter what. He doesn't change it. He doesn't move. He will sow that seed in the hope that at some point that harvest will produce something for him. He puts time, investment, he feeds it, he looks after it, he nurtures it. It gets it to a point where it's at its best. But even good soil will produce a different crop production throughout the year, whether it's on clay, peat, sandy soil, loam, it will all produce a different quality and a different quantity of that crop. In chapter 10, Matthew goes on to talk about the disciples being sent out by Jesus to slay unclean spirits and to go out and heal. They were about to experience to be his hands and feet to bring people in, to gather people in for himself, to be his laborers and workers to gather that harvest in. Not to do it under their own strength and their own will, but to rely on the Lord of the harvest. In Acts 2:47, it says, the Lord added to their numbers. Not them, not the disciples walking around. The Lord added to their numbers. It was when they were rooted in good soil, were they able then to go out in God's strength to gather people in. When they stopped relying on their own issues, their own wants, their own needs, their own strengths, did they actually see the church grow? Friends, we're called to do the same. We are called to be rooted in good soil. Because only then will we be able to grow and be at our best and most productive for the Lord of the harvest. Only then, when we rely on him to bring that harvest in, will we see people come and be saved. It will not be done under our own strength and our own will, but when we rely on him and him alone. Like all these four soils, each of us have our own characteristics. Each of us has our own weaknesses, and each of us has our own strengths. And each of us can bring something to the table. So the question is, which is the best soil to produce that crop? Which is the best soil to gather people in? Well, none of them are. They're all good. But the best soil is when this happens. When all the soils come together as one. That's when good soil becomes the best. When we all come together with our own weaknesses and our own strengths and we come together as a community of believers, will that soil really produce a crop? Will that soil really produce something that's to worth gathering in? So this morning, whatever you've got, whatever you bring, whatever you have, bring it, because it's worth it. It is vital. If we are going to see the church grow, and I don't mean OCF, I mean the church, we have to be rooted in good soil. And whatever soil type you are vital, because you need to be in this bucket all together as one voice, as one people. And when we do this, we will see a harvest worth gathering in. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, I thank you that we have an opportunity this morning to root ourselves once more in you. Lord, if we want to see production, if we want to see people gathered in, Lord, we have to rely on you and you alone. Let us stop relying on our own will, our own strength, our own needs. But Lord, I pray this morning that we start relying on the Lord of the harvest, where you gather your harvest in. Lord, I pray this morning as your workers, your laborers, we root ourselves in that good soil, that the seed of your word is in our hearts and our minds everywhere we go. And Lord, I thank you for this church where we come together, and whatever soil type we think we are vital to this growth. So Lord, this morning, sow your seed. Sow your seed in us so we may go out and gather that harvest in for you. Not relying on us, but on you alone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.